Welcome back to the Mark Steiner Show. I'm Imani Spence. I'm the producer here, and I'm sitting with Teresa Cromati. Is that pronounced right?
Yes,
okay. Cromati. Okay, good. And she's actually doing a solo show at Platform Art Gallery on the 10th of September. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I was reading about the work that you're presenting at Platform, and you talk about BBW. So tell us what that means for you.
Okay, great. Yeah, like BBW just kind of just to me. I was sitting in my living room and thinking about the show. And pretty much it just popped up in my head. And I'm like, okay, BBW. How cool would it be to like redefine this acronym of BBW and make it different from like what I'm so used to seeing when I see those letters. I'm so used to like seeing BBW as like this over sexualized woman and more so as this object, you know. And I was just like, beautiful black woman.
Yeah,
that's like the starting point. And I'm like, I'm sure there's so many different B words that could like describe the beauty within a black woman. And I just took that on, and I was, like, really into it. And I'm like, I'm just going to make a whole – I mean, my figures are already beautiful black women.
Yeah, definitely.
But to find a title that fits it so perfectly and gives me enough, like, room to play and, like, to talk about various different topics with within, like, what I see as beautiful being a black woman was – really great and something that I can like keep doing. Like this is just like the beginning because there's so much to say. But pretty much for this BBW show, you know, for this show, the beautiful black woman, I just wanted to capture her living and enjoying life and capturing her joy and showing partnership between women and collaboration and body language and how that communicates and how you can see so much between body language, between two people and groups of people. So I really wanted to capture that and just women relaxing and, like I said, living life. Like the things that we take for that other people take for granted for us, you know. And so I wanted to show that. And on top of those things, a lot of that body language was inspired by body language that I've seen growing up, like as a child, like women that like inspired me that I was looking up to, just seeing them like get ready for like a party, or just like going out to go to the store, or just like relaxing, like picnics, like in Carroll Park, like all that stuff. Is in my mind, so I use that as a, like an element of inspiration for this like alternate dimension that I've created. So it has elements of my childhood and upbringing in that, but I definitely wanted to capture that. And on top of within all this beauty with black women, I wanted to show the interruptions that come with that. And those interruptions can be from other men, other black men, and also other women, often white women. And, you know, these things happen randomly, and so suddenly it catches you off guard. And recently it happened to me again after I've already made the show. I was just out, just, like, hanging out, enjoying myself. And, like, my space was so... It was so invaded. Like, I felt so invaded. And I'm like, this just, like, reassures, like...
Yeah, definitely.
These things I've captured within the piece. And I also just want to show that with those interruptions from... That you may find with men or other women that don't identify the same as you, you're still beautiful and you're still going to live your life.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to show that in a very humorous way, because I like to provide humor with these sensitive topics just to allow people to be vulnerable vulnerable enough to even look at it, and then it's up to them if they want to go deeper and really break it apart.
Yeah, definitely. And you talk about a few things. So I think that one thing that I always noticed in your work and the way that you described BBW, both in like the show description and also here, is that I think about interruptions in pop culture right now. So recently, like, Kanye West had his casting call for multiracial women, and people were like, well, okay, what does that really mean, right? Mm-hmm. And then you think about how even Drake uses BBW to, like, fetishize, like, Nicki Minaj, right, mm-hmm. and her body. And I think about those type of small things and the reclaiming of that is where, like, you know, my friends might say, like, oh, I feel like I'm a BBW today, but it's obviously very different. So that's really cool. Especially, I know that you're from Baltimore, mm-hmm. as you talked about. You went to BSA.
Yeah.
I know you talked about, like, the women that you said inspired you, but how did, I guess, the city of Baltimore and the art scene here inspire you?
Okay. The actual city has inspired me just with its essence and just that rawness of just not caring.
Yeah.
I've lived in other places, and I felt that people pay attention to things way more.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in Baltimore, it's not necessarily a case and it's pros and cons
right.
within that. But I feel like here you can be loose. Things are very open. People say what they want to say. People mm-hmm. do what they want to do. And, you know, just traveling to school. I never really went to schools in my neighborhood.
Okay.
So I would travel, like,
yeah,
pretty far to get to school. So I was always on, like, the number 20.
Okay.
And, coming from, like, Sulebo, which is, like, southwest Baltimore.
Right.
Going into, like, either Bolton Hill or
mm-hmm.
where BSA is, downtown.
Yeah.
So it's, like, you, that's, like, two polar, like, those are opposite
right.
places. And just a lot of the things that I've seen just, like, on the bus stops and interactions on, like, the number 20 bus stop. Those are all, like, stored in my memory and just, like, that humor and just realizing that, like, things aren't just that serious. That's mainly what I just, like, really like to, like, pull the humor in, like, those moments that I've been exposed to and just, you know, catcalling at a very yeah. early age. It's just something that you're very used to growing up here and just mm-hmm. maybe just growing up in general. You know,
right, yeah, we can't speak to that.
But I'm speaking for here.
Yeah.
you know, like, this, like, catcalling, and, you know, it could be seen as, like, a negative thing, but you also find a lot of humor in the things that people can even say to you, like,
oh, oh yeah, oh. Definitely, definitely.
You know, like, one guy, I remember, he was just like, I wish I could be one of those holes in your dress. And I'm like,
what?
Okay. But it's just, like, that, taking something that is seen as, like, negative or disgusting and, like, that's actually kind of funny,
yeah.
but sad, but funny.
Right,
and,
no, definitely.
And that kind of just drives a lot of my work. Like, I like to provide, like, humor and make it whimsical while talking about other things that may be tough or may be sad or maybe, like, ridiculous or disgusting. But I definitely like to provide it with some kind of humor because I just feel like that's what I've been exposed to and that's what I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
From growing up in this city, and that's something I take with me no matter, like, what yeah. city I live in.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that you play a lot with patterns in your work mm-hmm. And kind of juxtaposing usually, like, dark figures with bright patterns. I guess, is that part of the way that you've injected whimsy into this newest collection that you have?
Yeah. I definitely like playing with these patterns, and I've done it, and I want to go even further with
right.
it. For now, this show is playing with those patterns and playing with texture and
oh, cool.
Providing some 3D elements within
awesome.
The pieces because I feel like so many people have known me to be like this very flat, two-dimensional artist, and that's great, but definitely showing that I'm going to break out of that.
Right.
And this is just like the beginning of breaking out. So, for example, all of the pieces within this show are like about like 4 feet by 6 feet.
Okay.
And the textures that I'm playing with are like glitter, and then I'm also playing with fabric.
Mm.
And some the fabric between the glitter, so it's like very matte versus glossy.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the fabric actually comes off of the page.
Oh, cool.
So even within the work, I like to play with dimension, like. If you notice, some of the women have masks, and within the mask, they have like a circular eye that's just like a dot. But within the dot, there's actually no eye. It just goes straight through the body.
Okay.
And those are like little things that I like to do to like play with dimension.
Yeah.
And I use a lot of perspective within like the checkerboard kitchen tiles that I've been using lot within my previous work, but a lot within this body of work. I like to play with space and dimension because, like I said, the characters that I'm making, these stylized figures, they are living within an alternate dimension.
Yeah.
And I want to really get that across.
Yeah. And what is that? I know we always think about alternate dimensions, and I always think it's really interesting how people create them and what their fantasies are, right? So even think about something as basic as like television, where they're like, okay, well, my fantasy show is like House of Cards, right? They're not nothing political about that show. But you're thinking like, is this really what you believe? Like, do you really think that, like, you know, this,
I've never even seen
it. It's really not worth it at this point. But if you think about like, what would your alternate dimension look like for your figures and for your characters within your work?
This is it. This is like what you see is that world.
Yeah.
And I am learning more and more about that world when I draw and when I create these figures in these spaces. And I have various figures that I use. And I mean, I use them in each piece because they've been developing for over like several years now.
Right.
But one of the figures that I'm like really proud of is this one figure that doesn't have any legs. It has like this huge and no legs, and it walks around on its arms.
Okay.
And that's when I really discovered that this was a different world. This was a different space that I was trying to show people when I discovered that character. And there are a lot of overlaps between, you know, the world we live in and this world that I am
creating.
But it doesn't have a name. It's just a space.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just a space for me to share.
That's so cool. And I guess, you know, you talked about it before we came on air about this is like the first piece of work that you really, really want people to see. Because you've had a lot of collections. You've collaborated with a lot of Baltimore artists from what I've, you know, done my research. How has that collaboration really added to your work?
The collaborations, especially with Abdu Ali, he's a good friend, really helped me get some ideas out and listening, like for Kalon.
Right.
Basically, he would just say, I'm feeling very post-apocalyptic. And I would be like, okay.
What does that look like?
And then I would just make something that I would feel like it's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
And send it to him. He was like, okay, great.
Amazing. You know?
So it was just cool to just have someone that has like all these crazy not crazy, but these like over the top ideas, and then pair like, and then for them to just give me like two words, and then for me to pair my extra over top ideas with that was very cool. And we did that for like 2 years, and Kalon is coming back, so we're going to keep doing it.
But yeah,
it was just a platform. Like, I was still in college at that time, so it was just something I was doing outside of school that was challenging me in a way that I didn't feel like undergrad was challenging me as far as like growing with my work and figuring out how I wanted my body's my forms to move on the page and how I wanted them to be seen. And I didn't really feel like people would react to them like that, but they did, and that was great.
That's and a cool feeling.
Yeah, it was just another sketchbook.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know.
I know that we said you went to Pratt. So, like, what was that kind of space like for you being in New York when you have such a connection to Baltimore? And also your work is really, from what you've told me, like, Baltimore-centered in your experiences. What was that like kind of spending those, as you're in undergrad for 4 years, spending those 4 years there?
Well, I spent 2 years there. I did 2 years at this smaller institution started by Pratt in Delaware.
Okay, cool.
In the middle of nowhere. And it was in Wilmington. And I got there, I hated it. I was just like, I can't survive in this small town.
Right.
And I was around all these other cool people that couldn't survive in this small town. And it was a small school, so we had really close relationships with all the professors.
That's nice.
And they were very encouraging. And basically, I started these figures. I was, like, really into, like, Art Deco.
Okay.
And everything was, like, super angular. And I didn't use, like, any curvy lines. I was like, I can't use curved lines. And then over, like, those 2 years, they started getting curvier.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually doing, like, some flyers back then for, like, yard sales or, like,
nice.
We would do on the street. But that city was so small and there was nothing to do that I just was really in tune with just, like, creating this,
yeah.
this world. And then so by the time I got to Pratt, I already had it. And it was something I was already doing. And honestly,
yeah, it all
I just
came
went
together.
To school.
Honestly,
I just went to my classes. And I think I tried to introduce these figures there. And it wasn't really received well.
Okay.
And I don't know why. I'm not even going to try to
right.
figure out why.
Yeah, definitely.
I just basically kept doing. I came back home to Baltimore one summer from Pratt, and that's when I met Abdu, and we started doing Kalon. So,
right.
like, I would just go to school and do regular, because my major there was graphic design.
Okay.
I would just do my type stuff.
Yeah.
And then do flyers. And at that point, my professors were just like, you don't want to be doing flyers, you know? But I'm like, oh, well, the flyers I'm doing are, like, cool. Like,
they are really cool, yeah.
I'm like, well, whatever. so that's just what I did. And school was school, and this was a whole different thing for me.
Yeah.
They never really overlapped. Because it just didn't, it just wasn't a place for that
mm-hmm.
for me. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting because I think oftentimes we think about art school and we think, oh my gosh, look at this great incubator for you to work on some of your best works, for people to support your best work, and, you know, for then from there to go forth and then create even better work from that springboard. But it's interesting that you were able to find a space here in your home with other artists who are here in Baltimore and still, you know, find that fulfillment of obviously of getting a degree and being at Pratt, but know that your real artistic fulfillment was here. And that's something that people don't really look at with Baltimore.
Yeah, because I think, like, the issue there was that, you know, some schools are very into your major.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very in between a lot of majors.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like I was just, like, floating, you know? And I did, like, some illustration classes because that went hand in hand with what I was studying, graphic design. Like,
yeah.
that's just, you know,
right.
hand in hand. But, yeah, so I will say that while I was there, my figures got cleaner.
Okay.
So that helped. But that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, so that was great. But, yeah, I mean, definitely working with other artists that are my age and just, like, my friends, like, helped me grow in that area.
That's,
for sure.
That's super cool. And you said that Kalon is coming back sometime this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was that with the Contemporary helping you guys out with that?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was from the Contemporary, the Grip Fund.
That's super awesome. And then I know your show is September 10th, which is Saturday, right?
It's Saturday.
Yay. Are you excited?
I am excited. Yes. I'm super excited because not only am I doing these two-dimensional pieces that have three-dimensional elements, but a whole installation.
Mm-hmm.
And the installation, all of the figures within this body of work in BBW are placed in these kitchen tiles, like on top of these kitchen tiles, these checkerboard tiles.
Oh, sweet.
And they are basically placed like in right in the middle of these rainforest-like spaces.
Okay,
so there's
cool.
There's a lot of like natural elements within the pieces, and the installation piggybacks off of the pieces, so there will be checkerboard tiles on the floor
mm-hmm.
and vinyls of leaves and
yeah.
I collaborated with a friend, Panjelica. She's also here based in Baltimore. And we actually went to BSA together.
Nice.
We studied music at BSA. And she's, like, still doing music. And so I was like, well, how about we make this, like, an audio-visual thing?
Yeah.
And I give you some ideas based off of, like, what's happening in the pieces. And she created this three-movement piece.
Awesome.
And I'm so excited for people to, like, experience everything at once.
That's so cool. So that is Saturday, September 10th at from 7 to 10 is the opening, and then later in the month you'll have an artist talk at Platform Gallery, which is on West Mulberry Street.
Right.
Yes, so Saturday, September 10th at Platform Gallery. Go out and see Teresa's amazing work. Really her big solo debut. We're really excited.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, thank you so much for coming. And after this, after the break, we'll have another Who's from the Mark Sanders Show.